You know how wonderful it is as we gather as a people of God and really rejoicing as a community, really want to welcome each other in the joy of the Lord. Amen. So if you're new here and you are visiting us, God's blessing be upon you. But we believe as a household of faith, we all have been united in Jesus Christ. So there's no strangers among us, but brothers and sisters in Christ, as we keep on discovering the goodness of the Lord, we will grow from grace to grace and strength to strength. And really want to thank our worship team for really have their heart to worship. And all of us as well being led to that sense of knowing that the Father is here. I think every Sunday as we gather here, we're not asking God to visit us. We're not praying for a visitation because we are in the inhabitation of His praises. We are the people of God and His Spirit dwells in us. So worshiping is just an overflow of knowing who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. And for those of us who's new or been away for a while, we are on this series on how do you know you are a Christian? And again, sometimes for many of us, we may have been church for the longest time or we have been part of a lot of stuff. And we can forget what it means to be part of a church. What does it mean to be knowing God? And what is it even mean for us to be knowing ourselves as sons and daughters of God? And again, the letter of 1 John is a series we are going through to remind ourselves. How do I know I'm a Christian? How many of us know that we are Christian for the past few weeks, past few months, about we know the truth because the truth is in us and we have the anointing, we have the Holy Spirit that really changes us from the inside out to make us a joy of the Lord to all people around us. No, but sometimes some people think to be a good Christian means we need to be very serious or we need to be very somber people. And I came across a story of this man who wants to be a very good Christian. And so he decided to be joining a very strict monastery. And how strict is this monastery? Well, you're allowed to say two words once every 10 years. Two words once every 10 years. So he joined this monastery and 10 years later, the abbot asked him, "How's things?" And he said, "Food cold." Then he went back to silence for another 10 years. But asking him again, "How's things?" "Bait hard." Then next 10 years, he came back again. But asked him, "How's things?" And the guy replied, "I quit." And the abbot say, "Well, that doesn't come to me as a surprise. You have been complaining since the day you got here. You complain about the food is cold. You complain about the bed is hard. So I'm not surprised you're quitting." There's sometimes for all of us, we feel like quitting. Okay, in the Christian faith. But sometimes we want to quit, even church. But here, John, the apostle, was writing to the believers how it is important not to quit in the Christian faith. And how we ought to refresh ourselves and remind ourselves what do we really believe. And so the letter of John brings a believer back to this whole idea. And today we want to talk about it is God is love. Tell your neighbor, God is love. It's not complicated, but sometimes we can overthink it. And so it's important to refresh ourselves, remind ourselves, what do we mean God is love? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 12. I'll read to you from the ESV. 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 12. Here, the apostle John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us." Let's look at the next slide. Let me break it down to you in graphic form. Wow. sophisticated, hey? Maybe too small, you may want to use your camera to zoom in. But basically what John is saying to us is that as a church, we are God's beloved, amen? God loves us and we are called beloved. Beloved means that you are recognized, you are being embraced for who you are. It's not what you do, it's because you came from the Father. And because we all come from the Father, we are His beloved. Hallelujah. So look at your neighbor and say, you are a beloved. It's important. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of people reminding us that we are God's beloved. Why? Because here it says love originates in God. John reminds us that love comes from God because God is a source of love. He says God is love. Now, love is not one of God's quality. It's not one of God's attribute. It's not like one of the features of God. But the essence of God, the nature of God is love. So how God deals with us, it is always coming from a place of love. Amen? When God corrects us, not because He hates us, because He loves us. God does not punish us, but He will push us. God will question the way we do things, but God will never come to punish us because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right, because the cross dealt with every sin issue. And from this day on, how God deals with us, He pushes us, He makes us think, He will correct us. Because punishment always have to do with our past. But God will discipline us, He will correct us, because discipline has to do with our future. If someone punishes us, it's because of something we had done in the past. But when someone comes to discipline us, it is because of our future, and they don't want us to walk in that sense of freedom. Amen? That's why you look at the gospel. Jesus do not punish His disciple when sometimes they say the wrong thing or when they do the wrong thing. Rather, He rebukes them. If you really read Jesus' rebuke of His disciples, usually it doesn't go beyond one or two statements. You notice that? He never go beyond that. Right? So here was John. John and the rest of the disciples years ago traveled to this place called Samaria, and they were rejected by the villagers, and John was very upset with his brother James. And so they went to Jesus and said, should we call fire from heaven and burn everybody? John was upset because he didn't get his happy meal. And so he decided to call for massive destruction. And then Jesus said to him and his brother, you do not know what sort of spirit you have in you. And years later, John got it. The spirit that he has in him is a spirit of Christ present. And who is Jesus Christ? Christ, Jesus Christ is none other than God's love in skin. Jesus came as the love of God personified. And because he believed in Jesus, Christ lives in him. John, years later, understood that he has love in him. And so God loved us first. And this love is what we call agape love. Agape means unconditional love. Love that's undeserving. Right, so the Greeks have many different terms for love. There's family love, there's friendship love. But come to a kind of love that's unconditional. It's called agape. And it's mentioned about 14 times just in this text alone. And so we can love people with agape love because God loves us. And here is what John says, God loves us first. We are the beloved of God, not because we love God first. Because our relationship, right, the security of our relationship does not rest on how much we love God, but on how much He loves us. Amen? You are secure. I am secure. It's not because I love God. On Sunday, you come to church, you can raise your hand, you can cry, you can fall on your knees, you can say, oh, I love you, Jesus. I will forever love you. I will never stop loving you. And then what happened? Monday. If our relationship depends on if our security of our relationship depends on how much we love God, we will fail again and again. But the strength of our relationship comes from how much God loves us. And because we know how much we've been loved by God, It gives us a capacity and the ability to love others. And God's love is not just mere words. Here, John tells us God initiates his love to us through Jesus. God demonstrates his love to us by sending us Jesus Christ. Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. That means Jesus is the one who atoned for our sin so that every one of us can come before God knowing our sin has been forgiven of us and we can come boldly to worship him. Hallelujah. How many of us today, this afternoon, we were worshiping God boldly? Amen. It's because we know there's no longer any hindrances. There's no more any gap between us and God. We can come boldly. And even if we feel there is something that is not right, Hebrew tells us we can still come boldly because his throne is a throne of grace and we can expect mercy and grace every time we call to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't need to qualify ourselves because Jesus has come to qualify us. Why did God send Jesus Christ? So to complete us in every way. Once you know Jesus Christ, amen, God no longer wants to fix you because he gives you a new nature. But God will use your new nature to free you. Amen. So God is not fixing you, rather God is freeing you. And he's teaching us to walk in that new creation reality. How then do we respond? We cannot give what we do not receive. We cannot give what we do not receive. Thus, as we experience God's love, we know we are loved by God, and then we can be loving to others. So the love of God is not meant to be kept by us, but rather the love of God is for us to share, to spread. And the best part is, we can never outgive God. You know, sometimes many of us have not understood that joy that Jesus had for us to say that we can love one another as he loved us. He did not ask us to love each other based on our own grace or based on our own strength. Because how many of you sometimes find some people are difficult to love? Don't look at your neighbor, please. Right, especially newly wed over there at the spot. Okay. Now, matter of time, we will find sometimes it's difficult to love. And sometimes we find because we cannot love, something is wrong with us. But the thing is this, we cannot love without first experiencing the love of God. Sometimes we only read one part, love one another, but we've forgotten the second part, as I love you. So when we test our spirituality, love one another, without reading the second part, we feel a lot of pressure, we feel as if we let God down, or we let ourselves down. But here the word of God is very clear, love one another as I love you. Are you receiving love? Are you building on the revelation on God's love? And here is, looking at the chart again, it says here, you know, how do we respond? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Why? Because he says here, people cannot see God, but people can see you. Right, you tell people about God, most people cannot see God because God is spirit, but people can see you. So no one has seen God. But if we love one another, he says here, God abides in us. I mean, God stays with us. God remains with us and his love is perfected in us. The word perfected means complete, make whole, make strong. You see, for instance, you can't see the muscle of a man. But if you look at a man, the way his body is shaped, you can say that guy is well built. Don't look at me, I'm a bad example. Right. Years ago, I have a doctor friend in Singapore, and I was larger than life then, right? Some of you remember me. And I went to see him and I put on some weight. It's just after Christmas. And I was saying to him, am I fat? And he's very subtle, said, no, you're not fat. You're just all over the place, right? Right. And by looking at me, say, I know by your size, you love to eat. And likewise, as believer, people cannot see God. But when they see us, they can tell whether we have seen God. There's a difference. So the thing is this, many times, we even as Christians, and this is a lesson I learned again and again and again, and this is a lesson I want to impart to you guys, is that many times we let people define who we are. Right? But the truth is this, is that you are not to be defined what people say about you or what people do to you. Rather, you can only be defined by who God is to you. Let me repeat it one more time. You are not defined by what other people say about you, what they do to you. You can only be defined by who God is to you. God is love. Now, very simple equation. This is not a theological test. If God is love, who is God to you? Love. If God is to you love, that means God is complete for you. But sometimes the thing is this, we can choose to continue with the habits of our old sinful nature that's no longer us. But we can still choose to have sinful habits rather than we choose or learn to practice the habit of our new spiritual nature. The truth is this, no one can make you angry. No one can offend you. You can choose to be angry. You can get offended. Look at it. Oh, you're smiling. You're not like me. I get angry. I get offended. But the thing is this. Where I choose to get angry, where I choose to be offended, what am I doing? I'm still choosing the habit of my old sinful nature. What do I have now? I have the Holy Spirit in me. Amen? All us have the Spirit in us. So if the Spirit is in us, and Paul tells us in Galatians, that means you and I already have the fruit of the Spirit. We just have to manifest it. So that means you and I already have all the love, the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in us. It's whether I choose to keep on not renewing my mind and keep on doing what is my old sinful nature, or I can keep on walking in the renewal of my mind and walk in what the Spirit is doing in me. You see, the thing is this, when you and I allow other people's action to define our identity, it is easy to stop loving, it's easy to lose joy and not have peace. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's only a matter of time before you lose patience, refuse to be kind, and cease to be good. And then you can also avoid being faithful and gentle and completely lose control. But when you build and base your identity on who God is to you, you experience such a transformation that you don't even recognize yourself. Imagine you allow God, and the word is called surrender, and when you give yourself so wholly to God and so fully to God, and tomorrow you wake up, Joanne say to you, who are you? I say, it's a new me. God has done a deep work. She's shaking her head, unbelief, right? But God is still working, right? But what I'm saying is all of us build and base our identity on who God is to us. He is perfect love. And when we let perfect love do his perfect work in us, then what happens? We become so new that we have to be introduced to ourselves once again. So every morning, once you know Jesus Christ, you look in the mirror and say, hello, gorgeous. You say to yourself, you are love, you are joy, you are peace, you are patient, right? You are kindness, you are goodness, you are faithfulness, you are gentleness, and you are full of self-control. And then your hair is all combed, you can leave the house. Why? Because this is who we are now in Christ. See, we cannot give what we do not receive. The thing is this, we already receive. But sometimes we have forgotten who we are. We suffer from a kind of amnesia that we've forgotten who we are in Christ. And when we do not know who we are in Christ, we do not know what we have. And when we do not know what we have, we will not so-called manifest it. We all have to experience God's love so that we know we are loved by God perfectly, and then we can learn to love each other as God loves us in Christ. You see, religion turns God's promises into some kind of pet talks or put a price tag on the free gifts of grace. You see, if you want God to remain in you, you must love people. If you don't love people, that means God is not in you. That is flipping part B to part A and part A to part B. The thing is, beloved, we can love one another because God has already loved us. Amen? Then your neighbor say, this is good. Are you taking notes? Right. He says here, if we love one another, say love has been completed or perfect. So it's not just good enough to say how much I've been loved by God. So wonderful to be loved by God. That will make us narcissistic. But rather now I've been so loved by God, I'm stepping forth to love others as God in Christ has loved me. So next slide, it says, by this we all know we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in Him. Next slide tells you again, one more time, a good chart. Our faith is very Trinitarian. That means it's not just us relating to just the Father exclusively, or just to the Son exclusively, or just to the Spirit. You know, Christian tradition or Christian churches sometimes just look at the Father, but they've forgotten about the Son. Or we look at the Son, we've forgotten about the Spirit. Or we look at the Spirit, we've forgotten the Father. But rather, our faith is Trinitarian. It means the Trinity is working in us. So our faith is this, is that knowing the Trinity is working in us says that we can have a right relationship. Before the world was created, God already knew us. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knows our name. There come a time He also knew sin will, so God, separate us. That's why Jesus Christ came, so that we can be reconciled to God. But reconciliation is not just the end. Now, God can say, I save you, but I have nothing to do with you. Sometimes we do that to people, right? But some people have hurt us so badly, we can say, I forgive you, but I no longer want to have any relationship with you. All right? Some of you may not have the experience, but I have. When I have been so grieved, it comes a time I have forgiven, but I do not want to have a relationship with a person. But that's not how God works. We have grieved God so badly, He knows that we cannot solve it. That's why He sent Jesus Christ to resolve the sin issue. But God did not just stop there. He said, now I've given you my Spirit that will live in you so that you can have that relationship with me. Hallelujah. So God doesn't just only save us. God desires to have that fellowship with us. And this is this, is that once we know the Trinity is working in our life, the Father, the Son, the Spirit is not just a song, but it is a living relationship. Now we learn to recognize each other. To know we are in Christ is also recognize the Christ in other people. See, sometimes we make theology more important than people. It's not to say theology is not important, but theology must point us to the love of God. And this is what all these Gnostics, these false teachers are doing. All their teaching makes them very exclusive. But our faith is both exclusive and inclusive. We have a very exclusive relationship with God. We can know other God except God. But this relationship with God makes us very inclusive. The love of God that's in our heart has been shared abroad by the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said. That means we are very exclusive in our relationship with God, but we are very inclusive with our relationship with other people. So when we look at other believers, not of our church, or other believers, not of our theological tradition, we do not look at them and then judge them as not part of the body. Rather, John says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in us. So when we meet other Christians, whether in the workplace, on the campuses or elsewhere, the moment we know they are believers, we already have a connection. We don't need to work for connection. We are already connected to the Trinity. Immediately we can have fellowship. Immediately we can talk to them and be their friend, and they can be our friend because they are no longer stranger. Now, in our church, we should not try hard to welcome people. In fact, the moment people come to our church, welcoming is part of the spiritual grace God has given us. There's an affirmation. Right? There's an amen. In baby language now. This is what we should be, that as we come together, that we really can connect with one another. We don't come to church and say, oh, we're not alike. Oh, we are not familiar, or we are different. No, 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 no. The moment we say that, can I say this out of love? You are speaking out of unbelief. You know, years ago when I was a teenager in Singapore, not that years ago, 2 years ago. Now, in Singapore, I have this Indian lady who comes to my church, really direct from India, right? And every time she sees me, say, Richard, the Christ in me greets the Christ in you. I said, wow, that is profound. Every Sunday she sees me, Richard, the Christ in me greets the Christ in you. I said, that's deep, man. I pondered that for many years. The Christ in me greet the Christ in you. Until one day I came across Colossians, that do we not know, Paul says, that Christ dwells in us. Right? The glory of God in body form dwells in us. That means, theologically speaking, practically speaking, when we see each other, we see God in each other. And only then, if I learn to see Christ dwell in you, and you see Christ dwell in me, we have that connection. It is a revelation. Right? So you don't have to be mystical as my church friend, the Christ in me greets the Christ in you. But the moment we come to church, we don't need to work hard. If we are working hard to get to know someone, can I say to you, we're suffering from a theological problem? We didn't know that, but now we know. But then we also, it's important that sometimes in come to relationship, come to people, we tend to be very judgmental. What we need to be is to be discerning. Be discerning and don't be judgmental. There's a difference. What's the difference? If you spend time sizing people up, oh, that one, oh, that one, oh, that's being judgmental. But to be discerning is, God, what is that person going through right now? What word of life can I give to that person? Is there a scripture verse I can read? Is there a song I can, don't sing, say? Right? Ephesians says, speak to one another in spiritual song. God knows some of us can't, right? Sing, right? So he says, speak. Can I have a prophetic word? Can I give a word of wisdom? And sometimes there's a problem with us is that we are too quick to judge. But we should be discerning. Because when we discern, it's not us seeing people as believers, but people can also say that we are believers. It says here, so that we can come to know and believe the love of God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. So John says there is a great difference to know as well as to believe. Knowing is about information. Believing is to experience that information. And believing will lead to transformation. You can be in a church for the longest time and yet you may not know the love of God. You can be in a life group, you can be ministry, you have forgotten what it meant to encounter God. And we need to encounter the Father not just once, but keep encountering Him. Everyone is going to encounter God in a different way because we are all different. All of us starts with the book. We start with the Bible. We start with the gospel. But a long time, God would speak to us in our love language. I'm telling you, the best way is know your own love language and then let God speak to you. One of the things God loves to do, especially gives me a lot of dreams, and I dream of many of you guys in my dream. Get out, get out. Now, right, good dreams, good dreams. But some of these dreams are prophetic dreams, and I will come and tell you, oh, I dreamt about you, and this is a word God has for you. And sometimes God will give me very peculiar words. Sometimes these words can be in Telugu, right, one of the Indian language, or it can be Japanese, or it can be some European ancient language, and I will actually Google it. Because this is how, this what I call game I play with God, because it is the glory of God to hide a matter, but it's the glory of King to reveal a matter. So God conceals it so that he wants me to reveal it. So this is how I know God loves me. And this is how all of us must encounter God. Now, back in New Zealand days, I was telling you guys before, it's about we pray for God to give us postcard from heaven. All right, so we learned this from our pastor back in New Zealand days, is pray to God for a postcard from heaven. So what do you mean by that? He said, we all know God loves us, but once in a while, we should ask God to send us a postcard from heaven. I said, oh. Say yes. So we begin to pray, Lord, we know you love us, but I don't mind you send me a postcard from heaven just to tell me you still love me. Just to tell me that we're still in a good book, right? Good relationship. And after Sunday church, we went to McDonald's, we got an extra cup of coffee. Wow. That's a postcard from heaven. We went home, someone left us grocery. Oh, postcard from heaven. And someone gave us some money. Oh, great postcard from heaven. That's how God shows us he loves us. Then so we need to pray for the encounter again and again. Why? Because if we say God is love, that means his greatest desire is for us to know him and believe him so that we can love him in return. The thing is this, what kind of relationship will it be if we don't ever feel anything? Right? If Joanne asked me, dear, do you love me? Yes, I told you on 25th June 1994. That's it. Don't ask me again. You know what I'm going to have for dinner? Hot tongue and cold shoulder, you know, for dinner, right? The thing is this. If we love someone, we will want to spend time. We not just spend time. We want to experience it. We want to feel it. And we also reciprocate that love. So the encounter of being loved by God give us the capacity to love God even more. Next slide. By this is love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fears. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother. Whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is how we look at the next slide. It tells us the flow. That if I know love is completed, means what? God wants us to learn to love people unconditionally. You agree? You must. It is the gospel. When we learn to love people unconditionally, that is where, this is what we mean, love has been perfected because we are practicing it. We are showing it. We are demonstrating it. And then he says this, we have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as Christ is, so are we in this world. That means from now on in my Christian experience of God encountering him, I want to love people. All right, some people are easy to love. That's why we call them lovable. Some people are not easy to love. Okay? Does that mean we don't? Yes, we still do. But we do not depend on our own strength, but we rest on the grace of God. Why? As we keep on loving people, we realize one thing. There is no more fear in us. Why am I unwilling to love you is because I fear you. That's the truth. Why I cannot forgive someone is because I fear that person will do it to me again. Why I no longer have goodness in my heart or kindness in me, because I have been taken advantage of again and again. But the truth is this, if I let others define my identity, I have not yet been perfected in love. But if I let God be to me to define who I am in Him, everything changes. And because we are so messed up many times in this life, many of us Christians, we are fearful of the end. We are fearful of Judgment Day. But here John tells us there is confidence when we stand before God. Because Christ, who is in us, enable us, strengthen us to live in that perfect love. So there's no more fear in love. I do not know what is your favorite brand of eschatology. That means the end times. Whether you are post-trip, mid-trip, don't know what trip. Right, I do not know how you interpret the end by telling you, if your idea of the end is still filling you with fear, you have not been perfected in love. Because it says perfect love casts out all fears. Because if we still fear God, we still believe God is up there to punish us. But God will not punish us because that sin that you and I have been punished on the body of Jesus Christ. And that's why we take communion every Sunday to remind that we are fully forgiven and that we are fully loved. Amen? And this is what it is. That it says that we are no longer fearful, but the next slide shows us is that we learn to reflect and echo God's love. Because we know we have been loved, we can love others because He first loved us. When we meet people who are difficult to love, can I please give you a lovely pastoral advice? Don't try to love that person. You end up being disappointed with yourself. Start first is to remind yourself how much you've been loved by God. Keep on reminding yourself, I've been loved by God, I've been loved by God. Because sometimes, let me push this point. The test of true Christianity is not how much I love Jesus. Only, but the test of true Christianity is, as much as I love Jesus, I also love Judas. That is the biggest test. Right? We can say, oh, how I love Jesus, how I love Jesus. We'll sing that marvelous hymn, but we never say, oh, how I love Judas as well. But this is a challenge. Here again is that people cannot see God, but people can see you. Here, John is then challenging us. If you cannot love someone you can see, why I cannot love the person I can see is because I come with expectation. And when those expectations are not met, I become disappointed. But can I learn to love someone unconditionally? Yes, I can, because His Spirit dwells in me. It's about learning only. It's about learning to walk in that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love, and the way we love others reflect how we love God. Loving the people that God loves us is one way we show we have received love. This is an exercise we all must practice. When we cannot practice love, please don't condemn yourself. Please don't shame yourself. Don't say, I'm a lousy Christian. You just have to ask God with all sense of humility, with all sense of faith, God, show me your love one more time. And then He will point us to the cross and say, as Christ is, so are you. That means if Christ has completed everything, there's nothing unfinished in any one of us, but He will complete us to walk in that grace. One thing about Christianity is this. Hating people is not part of the pillar of our faith. In fact, to hate people doesn't need faith, right? I hate you, no need faith. but to love even our enemies, to those who have done us terribly wrong. Oh, we need the grace of God. Because the truth is, you and I are not that innocent. Sometimes we have done others wrong as well. It's easy to emphasize or overemphasize people who have done us wrong. How about we ourselves has done others wrong? And this is where John then come and tell us is this, is that guys is not here judging each one, is not pointing fingers of those who have hurt us or harmed us. What they have done to us are wrong. But the thing is this, are you allowing them to define you, or you are allowing God to define you? End of the day, my friend, the gospel is about where we stand. Our identity is built on perfect love. Again and again in life, relationship will test us. Again and again in life, relationship will fail us. But don't use those times of failures and challenges and say, I can't love anymore. I don't have the joy. I don't have the peace. No, no, no. This is not an excuse, but it's to learn to rest. It's to learn to trust. It's to learn to obey. A famous woman called Corinne Ten Boom, let me share with you her story. Corinne Ten Boom and the sister, they hide the Jews during World War II, and someone snitched on them. The whole family all were arrested. At the end of the war, only Corinne Ten Boom survived, so-called the Nazi camp. But Corinne Ten Boom had such a supernatural experience of God. She went out talking about the love of God, talking about forgiveness. And one day, 20 years later, she was talking about the love of God and forgiveness. Someone came to her and said, Fräulein, that was a great message. And the person who shook her hand was the Nazi officer who tortured her and the sister. And suddenly all the hatred, all the bitterness just came forth. You know, because all the memory came of how the sister died and all the family members perished because of that. But then also, then at the same time, the love of God also came. And the word came to her. Do you believe what you are feeling, or you believe my message? And Corinne Ten Boom at that point just repent and gave heart. And then she smiled at that man and said, yes, how wonderful it is to love and to forgive. Church, you and I are broken people. People have so-called break us, and we will break others. But we need to stop somewhere, because the abused often become the abuser. The only way can be stopped is for us to say one more time, Father, show me your love. Show me your kindness. You're not testing me how much I not love others, but rather you are giving me the grace to love others as you have loved me. Let us all rise at this time. Let us just raise our hands and let us give it to the Father one more time. Raise our hands, people, and just surrender. Some of you have huge battle ahead of you. Some of you have gone through mess up situation. But in Jesus' name, I pray right now, no weapon raised against you will prosper. Every tongue that come to curse you, everything that been said about you are not the final word. Because Jesus is the author of your faith. When we come to the end of ourselves, all we need to do is say, Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, you are the perfect one. You see, church, God is not asking us to love people by just being nice to them. Loving someone is not just being nice, but loving someone is to experience the divine. So church, I pray right now with those of you who have been sensing that need to have a fresh encounter of Jesus one more time, just raise your hand and just say, Lord, here I am. I'm not here for a visitation. I pray for a habitation. Lord, come and minister your grace to everybody here. Minister your grace right now and speak to every broken heart, every broken spirit, that they learned perfect love casts out all fears. Oh, some of us has been so fearful to love again, to trust again, to give again. But here's perfect love saying, will you let me love you first? Will you let me embrace you first? Oh Father, I just pray your presence, your power, your fullness will manifest in everyone's spirit on this day. Fill them afresh, strengthen them. With faith, let's join our voices and our heart to sing our closing song.